Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Rayanam Namaskritam Naram Jayam Narottamam Devim Saraswatim Vyasam Dato Jayam Udirayat Nastaprayesh Vabadresh Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavati Utamish Loke Bhakti Bhavati Naishtiki. Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, 7th canto, 7th chapter, 37th text. Adhokshaja.
Adhokshaja.
Alambam
iha
ashubhadmana
sharirina
sankriti chakra
shatanam
tat
brahma nirvana
sukham
vidu
buddha
tata
vajadham
vidaye
Didishwaram. Adhoksha jalam vami hasubhadmana.
Adhoksha jalam vami hasubhadmana.
Sharirinam samsh. Do that one again. Adhoksha jalam vami hasubhadmana.
Adhoksha jalam vami hasubhadmana.
Sharirina sang sriti chakra shatanam.
Sharirina
sang sriti chakra shatanam. Tad brahma nirvana sukham vidur buddhas. Tad brahma nirvana sukham vidur buddhas. Sobhajadvam idaye ridishwaram. Tatobhajadvam idaye ridishwaram. Adhoksha jalambam ihasubhadmana. Sharirina sangshiti chakrashatanam. Tad brahma nirvana sukham vidur buddhas. Tato bhajadham ridaye ridishwaram. Adhoksha jalambam ihasi shatvana. Adhoksha jalambam ihasi bhatmana. Sharirina sangsriti chakra shatanam. Tad brahma nirvana sukham vidur buddhas. Tato bhajadham ridaye ridishwaram. Who is beyond the reach of the materialistic mind or experimental knowledge. Alambam, being constantly in contact. Iha, in this material world. Ashubha Atmana, whose mind is materially contaminated. Sharirina, of a living entity who has accepted a material body. Sangsriti, of material existence. Chakra, the cycle. Shatanam, completely stopping. Tat, that. Brahma Nirvana, connected with the Supreme Brahman, the absolute truth. Sukham, transcendental happiness. Vidu, understand. Buddha, those who are spiritually advanced. Tata, therefore. Bhajadham, engage in devotional service. Hridaye, within the core of the heart. Hridishwaram, to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Super Soul within the heart. Translation. The real problem of life is the repetition of birth and death, which is like a wheel rolling repeatedly up and down. This wheel, however, completely stops when one is in touch with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In other words, by the transcendental bliss realized from constant engagement in devotional service, one is completely liberated from material existence. All learned men know this. Therefore, my dear friends, O sons of the Asuras, immediately begin meditating upon and worshiping the Super Soul within everyone's heart. Responsively, the real problem of life
is the repetition of birth and death,
which is like a wheel rolling repeatedly up and down. This wheel, however, completely stops when one is in touch with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In other words, by the transcendental bliss realized from constant engagement in devotional service, one is completely liberated from material existence. All learned men know this. Therefore, my dear friends, O sons of the Asuras, immediately begin meditating upon and worshiping the Super Soul within everyone's heart. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Generally, it is understood that by merging into the existence of Brahman, the impersonal feature of the Absolute Truth, one becomes completely happy. The words Brahma Nirvana refer to connecting with the Absolute Truth, who is realized in three features. Brahmeti Paramitmi Bhagavaniti Shabdaye Shabjate. One feels Brahma Sukha, spiritual happiness, emerging into the impersonal Brahman, because the Brahma Jyoti is the effulgence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Yasya Prabha Prabhavato Jagadandakoti. Yasya Prabha, the impersonal Brahman, consists of the rays of Krishna's transcendental body. Therefore, whatever transcendental bliss one feels from merging in Brahman is due to contact with Krishna. Contact with Krishna is perfect Brahma Sukha. When the mind is in touch with the impersonal Brahman, one becomes satisfied. But one must advance further to render service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, for one's remaining merged in the Brahman effulgence is not always assured. As it is said, Aruya Krichrena Parampadam Tata Patanchado Nidritya Yushmad Angraya. One may merge in the Brahman feature of the Absolute Truth, but there is a chance that one may fall because of not being acquainted with Adhokshaja or Vasudev. Of course, such Brahmastuka undoubtedly eliminates material happiness, but when one advances through impersonal Brahman and localized Paramatma to approach the Supreme Personality of Godhead in relationship with Him as a servant, friend, parent, or conjugal lover, one's happiness becomes all-pervading. Then one automatically feels transcendental bliss, just as one becomes happy, seeing the shining of the moon. One acquires natural happiness upon seeing the moon. But when one can see the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one's transcendental happiness increases hundreds and thousands of times. As soon as one is very intimately connected with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one surely becomes free from all material contamination. Yanivrittis tanubhutam. This cessation of all material happiness is called nivritti or nirvana. Srila Rupa Goswami says in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 1.1.38, Pramanando bhavedesha chet parada gunikrita naiti bhakti sukambode paramanu tulamapi. If Brahmananda, the bliss of merging in the Brahman effulgence, were multiplied 100 trillion times, it would still not equal even an atomic fragment of the ocean of transcendental bliss felt in devotional service. Brahmabhuta prasanatmana sochati nakangshati samaksarveshu bhuteshu madbhaktim labhate param. One who is transcendentally situated at once realizes the Supreme Brahman and becomes fully joyful. He never laments nor desires to have anything. He is equally disposed toward all living entities. In that state, he attains pure devotional service unto the Lord. From Bhagavad Gita, 1854. If one advances further from the Brahma Nirvana platform, one enters the stage of devotional service, madbhaktim labhate param. The word adhokshaja bhalam, adhokshaja labham, refers to keeping the mind always engaged in the absolute truth, who is beyond the mind and material speculation. Savai mana krishna padara vindayo. This is the result of deity worship. By constantly engaging in the service of the Lord and thinking of his lotus feet, one is automatically freed from all material contamination. Thus the word Brahma Nirvana Sukham indicates that when one is in touch with the absolute truth, material sense gratification is completely nullified. Om Magena Timirandasya Ganananjana Salakaya Chaksuran Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Prahlad Maharaj is exhibiting his compassion in preaching to the asuras. Since he's always remembering Krishna and seeing Krishna everywhere and Krishna in every one, he is addressing those who are sons of the asuras without any discrimination. Sometimes, there's a later verse in this chapter where it is said that sometimes a pure devotee is seen exhibiting various symptoms, like laughing and crying, and one is offering obeisances to all living entities. That means not only humans, but animals, plants, aquatics and birds and so on. So one who is in constant meditation on Krishna, because he sees Krishna everywhere, he sees in every living entity the super soul. And so he's offering obeisances to all living entities. So sometimes we offer obeisances to one another. Sometimes we even offer obeisances to non-devotees, so-called non-devotees. And this is so because we're actually offering obeisances to the super soul within every living entity. So Prahlad is exhibiting this characteristic of indiscriminately preaching to anyone and everyone, despite what may seem to be unfavorable audiences. So the verse describes the problem of life as repetition of birth and death. And this is what Prahlad Maharaj is expounding that this is the real problem, that you may, as the sons of wealthy or affluent families, experience some happiness or affluence, but this is all temporary and it has to end. So he's explaining there's this wheel of birth and death. Ramanda Brahmite Kony Bhagi Vanji Guru Krishna Prasade Paya Bhakti Lata Vij. One rotates not only through different phases of happiness and distress, but also through different planets and universes. And as this verse in the Chaitanya Chaitamrita points out, because this is going on perpetually for the conditioned living entities, one is extremely fortunate indeed if he comes in contact with the spiritual master, Guru Krishna Prasade Pai Bhaktilata Beach, by the association of Krishna, by Krishna's mercy, comes into contact with a spiritual master. Or by contact with the spiritual master, he comes in contact with Krishna and this Paya Bhakti Lata Bij, the seed or creeper of devotional service, is planted and begins to grow. So if someone is a little fortunate and begins some form of spiritual practice, generally, as Prabhupada writes in the purport, generally it is understood that by merging into the existence of Brahman, one becomes completely happy. The general position is that one begins to engage in devotional practices with the aim of merging into the Brahman effulgence, or the impersonal realization of God. This is the common conception of spiritual life, realization, both in the East and in the West. It's commonplace that throughout India, for example, even those who are Vaishnavas, many do not fully understand the personality of Godhead. And impersonalism is rampant, that there is maybe some concept of Krishna as a person, but the higher and highest realization is to understand that which is beyond all form, or the all-pervasive Brahman. And in the Western traditions, this is also the commonplace conception, that there is no person. Even though in the Bible itself it says God is created in the image of man, but a man is created in the image of God, I should say. The essential concept that God has a human-like form or personal form is preached against. Even their greatest evangelists preach against this idea that God has a form. So that's the case in all Western religious traditions. And that is commonplace in the Mohammedan tradition. So whatever sense of spiritual life or religion exists, East and West, is based on this concept of all-pervasive, impersonal realization. So this is an imperfect stage. Nonetheless, of course, as Prabhupada points out, there is a sense of happiness. But this sense of happiness is so minute in comparison to devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead that it is just a tiny fraction. We were reading is that verse in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, that the happiness derived from devotional services thousands, millions, billions, trillions of times greater. So whatever happiness may be seen in this type of realization, we have to understand that it is practically insignificant in relation to devotional service. As I was coming into London through the airport yesterday, this gentleman stopped me, and he was saying how he wanted to know what sect I was with, and it turned out that he was a kind of evangelist, Christian evangelist, and had just come from some conference in America, an Irish gentleman. So I could understand in the short conversation that we had that he was very enthusiastic to preach his brand of impersonalism. But Nonetheless, he was very curious. Actually, he was more interested in finding out what I had to say about spiritual life. Because he sensed there was some sense of happiness, inner happiness, and that despite whatever realizations he may have had, that he and his colleagues were actually engaged in something of a great struggle, not only to understand who God is, but to actually attain happiness. So whatever form of religion we encounter is actually 10th class, because the essential feature of spiritual life, that is, the knowledge of the personality of Godhead, is not present. And Krishna actually says that only janma karma cha me divyam, that only by understanding the nature, the transcendental nature of my appearance, my activities, can one actually attain perfection permanently and not come back to this material world. So that's actually the simple perfection of life, to understand Krishna. Very easy on one hand, because Krishna is manifesting himself. As Prabhupada says, this is the result of deity worship, that we become completely satisfied and we meditate constantly on Krishna and we develop our transcendental love of Krishna. Krishna is very kind to come like this. Even though he is so difficult to understand, he is very kind and makes himself very accessible. When Krishna came as Lord Chaitanya, this is considered his incarnation of great mercy, his most magnanimous incarnation. Ahom Avadanaya, Krishna Prema Pradayate. And he was giving love of Krishna. And by his example, he was showing everyone exactly what to do. So this is Lord Chaitanya's special mercy, that he was demonstrating by everyday practical example how to worship Krishna, how to be a devotee of Krishna. Just as we are sometimes blessed with the association of great souls, of course all devotees are great souls and we're blessed by that association, but when we encounter a great devotee like Srila Prabhupada, we remember very clearly by his everyday example what a devotee of Krishna is. This was the great benefit of those who had the association with Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He exhibited these qualities of bhava. Sometimes he was exhibiting very extreme symptoms of, sometimes he would be laughing, sometimes crying, going out into the sea looking for Krishna everywhere. So by these nice examples, Lord Chaitanya is remembered, and we know what the symptoms of a devotee are by his example. And when he comes in the form of the deity, he's also coming in the same way. He's actually present before us, but in the form of a deity. There's a very nice address Prabhupada gave when he arrived in Atlanta one year. I don't know exactly when it was, but this is when shortly after these Gaurinitya deities were installed. And he was saying how nice it is that Krishna comes like this in the form of the deity, and how Krishna has come here and how kind Krishna is. He said Krishna is very, very kind. Krishna is the kindest. But even more kind than Krishna is Lord Chaitanya, because Krishna told us to surrender to him. But Lord Chaitanya was even more kind because he showed us how to surrender unto him. And therefore Krishna has come today in the form of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. As he was looking at the deities, then Prabhupada became very in ecstatic bliss and couldn't continue, had to stop. And the devotees were saying that he was exhibiting symptoms of tears were rolling from his eyes. So the pure devotee sees the deity as actually Krishna, or in this case Lord Chaitanya, coming himself, not as a deity, not as a form of metal, of course as a deity, but not simply as metal, but as Krishna or Lord Chaitanya himself. And he feels this great transcendental ecstasy that Krishna is coming here because he is kind. He wants to give us access to his personal qualities, to his personal form. So this is a great benediction for devotees, that Krishna is so kind, he comes like this. And particularly we are benedicted because in this age, which is rampant with impersonalism and voidism, it is very difficult to get association with Krishna. Only by the association of his devotees and his personal form like this do we have that opportunity. So the idea that Prahlad is teaching here is one's consciousness has to become pervaded with Krishna. In impersonal realization, there is some dim idea of Krishna. But the difference between that and actually having Krishna consciousness in his consciousness of Krishna's personal form is that our love for Krishna becomes all-pervading, or as Prabhupada says, our consciousness becomes all-pervading. Just as a materialist, he's always calculating how to make money or how to have sex. So when he's calculating so much how to make money, whatever he sees, he thinks of that thing in relationship. How can I turn this into some profit? How can I make profit? Or he's seeing it in relation to how can I improve? How can I have more sex? So whatever he sees without even trying, because his consciousness is imbued with how to make money or how to have better sex life, he's automatically thinking how everything is in relation to these two things. Or how he's automatically thinking how to engage everything so that he can make money or have more sex. So similarly, a devotee, because his consciousness of Krishna is all-pervading, he's thinking like that. He is calculating always how to bring Krishna to everyone, how to use all of these living entities, all of these material facilities. Even though some of them may seem averse to Krishna, his mind is automatically thinking how to engage all these living entities in Krishna consciousness and how to put all these facilities into Krishna's service. So his consciousness is completely absorbed in that way. So without having to go through the very troublesome path of impersonalism, which this is described in the 12th chapter, 5th verse of Bhagavad Gita, it's actually described as troublesome. And in the purport to that verse, Prabhupada explicates this further, how one undergoes great, great difficulty and actually wastes a lot of time trying to undergo these great disciplines, severe austerities, to realize Krishna's impersonal form. And in the end, the greater chance is that he will not progress to see Krishna in his personal form, but will be attracted again to the material energy. So it's not only troublesome, but actually quite dangerous that one spends so much time to realize Krishna's impersonal form, and in the end, he comes back to material life. So one and Krishna consciousness is not advised to follow this course, but as explained in Bhagavad Gita, it's very difficult, troublesome, and in the end the result is not very propitious. So we have to stop at 7. I'm going to read the verse again, and then we have time for a question or two. The real problem of life is the repetition of birth and death, which is like a wheel rolling repeatedly up and down. This wheel, however, completely stops when one is in touch with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In other words, by the transcendental bliss realized from constant engagement in devotional service, one is completely liberated from material existence. All learned men know this. Therefore, my dear friends, O sons of the Asuras, immediately begin meditating upon and worshipping the Super Soul within everyone's heart. Any discussion, questions, or points? Stretching or raising? Well, generally these things, the question was if this is being heard on the PA system. There are instances of Prabhupada exhibiting such symptoms of bhava, tears and rolling down his eyes. And this is very commonly done where he went into sort of trance-like. Generally, Prabhupada didn't exhibit such symptoms. The way in which I understand Prabhupada's constant meditation on Krishna is that he never seemed to make mistakes and that he was infinitely practical in everything he did. That was one of Prabhupada's principles. Purity, books, preaching, and utility is the principle. So the pure devotee, he, because he sees Krishna everywhere, knows how to use everything perfectly in Krishna, he's perfectly efficient in everything he does. So whatever instruction Prabhupada gave, even if it was prescribing some type of medicine for a devotee to take for a particular ailment, which he did on many occasions, he was exhibiting perfect Krishna consciousness by being perfectly practical. It's confirmed, I guess. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.
Namah Parasmai Purushaya Bhuya.